You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Gene
Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Once Upon a Time After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Once Upon a Time After Show.
Hello, Once Upon a Time fans. I'm Kathy Kelly, and Bing is for doing tonight. We are talking about Once Upon a Time, Season 2, Episode 6, titled Tallahassee. And I'm joined by my three lovely co-hosts. So I'm going to let you guys introduce yourselves.
Hi, everyone. I'm Tiana Hobson.
Hi, I'm Marissa Serafi.
Good evening. I'm Kaori Take.
And then we also have Steven running the ones and twos back there. So thanks for helping us out tonight, Steven. Overall thoughts, what did you think of tonight's episode?
I thought it was great. I was very excited to meet the giant. And I think as usual, you know, it brought up a lot of things. And I'm so happy that we finally got a little bit more into Emma's backstory.
Yes, I agree. I always love seeing backstories of a lot of the important characters that we need to know. And I like their take on the Beanstalk and the whole Jack and Beanstalk storyline.
Yeah, I like it too. I'm really happy that Emma was finally revealed, and it was interesting to see a hipster Emma. I like that.
She looked very different from the Emma that we know, and her personality was definitely different. That's actually the first topic I want to talk about, is Emma's backstory.
Yeah.
It was very interesting because Emma, the Emma that we know now is completely independent, you know, she's got her head on her shoulder. She's very moral. And Emma from the past, we see her stealing a car and there's a guy in the backseat.
Yeah.
Like, how awkward is that when you think you've just stolen a car and then up pops this guy from the backseat and is like, oh, crap, I'm busted now. I mean, that's how I would have felt if I was...
I don't think that would ever... My mic's backwards. Okay. I don't think that would ever happen, but hold on, guys, while I fix my mic.
I liked the way they introduced Neil Cassidy. Well, we first see him in Season 1. Not Season 1, in the pilot of this,
yes, the first episode. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But that was in a more ominous kind of introduction, but this introduction I found was more humorous and entertaining.
Yeah. That whole kind of, their whole back and forth was very entertaining and very fun and youthful, and you really got the sense of, you know, how, what Emma used to be and before she was, you know, running down people for bail bonds and stuff like that.
Yeah. It seemed very truthful. Obviously, I don't know much about, like, the foster care system, but it seemed like that's a storyline that we see a lot in movies and TV shows where kids who are brought up in the system become, you know, part of the system again, I guess. Emma just seemed very different from what I imagined her now. And I know that people had been waiting pretty much since the beginning of the second season to find out who the man in the apartment is, this mystery man. And we learn it's, you know, Neil Cassidy, the only guy that she's ever really loved.
And, you know, here's the thing. I think that we can all agree that we saw a completely different side of Emma in the backstory. Mm-hmm. She was more rebellious, kind of, you know, more brave and stuff. I think it has to do with the fact that she had her heart broken and that completely changed her. Because all we need is one heartbreak, right?
And to completely shut down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's what, and plus, she has 11 years on her now, too.
Yeah.
But I like the fact that she's still a risk taker these days, too.
Sure, yeah.
Because back then, she was like, yes, I'll do it, you know, I might get in trouble, but and have ramifications in the end, but she's still that. She still likes taking risks.
Yeah, she's still got that brave Emma going on, but she's like, Kathy, you said, she still has kind of like that moral compass now.
She's a survivor, and that's, you know, what she had to do since she was growing up. You know, August should have protected her and should have been there for her when she was younger, and he really wasn't. So she had to survive and, you know, be her own parent, like raise herself.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's kind of how, or what shaped her into who she is in present day Storybrooke.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Yeah. So I know, Marissa, you had something to say when Neil and Emma get caught by the cop with the stolen car, and Neil says, well, you know, women can't drive.
And because I guess that car is a stick shift.
Yes.
And Neil was like, you know, woman. And I'm like, oh, misogynist.
Oh.
And then, like, 1 minute later,
Emma calls me out.
Misogynistic.
I can drive a stick shift, but not many women can.
I can't.
I've had boyfriends, though, who weren't able to drive my car, so.
Oh, is your car a stick shift?
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, it was a definitely a misogynistic joke, but I laughed. I thought it was hilarious.
I thought it was cute.
It was funny, yes, but I'm like, oh, okay.
No harm, no foul.
And it helped them avoid getting arrested.
Yes.
One little misogynistic joke to avoid being in prison. It's great.
I love that the officer went along with it too. Like, yeah, man, I know what you're talking about. Like, I've had girl problems too, man.
Yeah. So, Emma and Neil team up, and I mean, they're immediately attracted to each other. Neil asks Emma out for a drink before she realizes that he has actually stolen this car as well.
Mm-hmm.
And
awkward.
We see this scene where Emma's like faking pregnant, which we don't realize at first.
Yeah.
But she's pregnant in quotes, and they rob a convenience store, and again dupe the people. By I mean, it's like a modern day
Bonnie and Clyde.
Yeah,
they even referred to it as themselves as Bonnie and Clyde at one point. But I was trying to figure out what they were stealing, and it was like a candy bar.
Yeah,
and, you know, it was just stuff that I was like, really, like that's what you're gonna
steal?
It
was like Halloween for them, or something.
Petty theft.
Yeah,
a candy bar, a keychain with a swan on it, which was very cute. And yeah, I mean, obviously that's why they couldn't retire to Florida, because they were stealing like $5 items.
Yeah.
And even their big heist was $20,000 worth of watches. It's not petty theft, but it's pretty darn close.
Yeah, pretty close. It's not enough to, I'd say, retire or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But,
still enough to do some serious damage.
But I mean, to be fair, he did do that theft on his own. So it's not completely... I don't... Maybe she just does small things.
You know, 11 years ago, $20,000 was probably a lot more.
Yeah, I'm sure it was.
Yeah. Well, it got her enough to buy a flip phone.
I mean, they were still, you know, pretty evil when you think about them watching a family of leaving their hotel room. Why would the family leave their hotel room open, by the way? Because I saw they left the door slightly open. I'm like, why would they do that? Anyway, they go in there and they, like, raid their place for 20 whole minutes, and that's when they decide to move to Tallahassee.
I don't think they raided their place. I think it was just a place for them to shower since they were living out of their car.
And they were going to take the dream catcher.
Yes, they were, which is something that was alluded to then and is brought up a lot later in this episode. So we're definitely going to talk about that
And something later. Else in that hotel room that was alluded to was when they were talking about retiring and going off mm-hmm. somewhere, Emma says, oh, where to? Neverland?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And I was like, okay.
You're like, all right.
Like, yeah, look over here. So I was like, okay, Neverland? Like, what does she mean by that?
Usually the writers are really mysterious, and I found that line so cheesy and over the mm-hmm. top.
Yeah.
Like, I love how they allude to things, but this was like just 1-2 punch.
Like, boom, yeah, in your face.
Yeah. Be real here.
And the fact that it was 11 years ago already, that I thought that was interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Definitely. So they get showered up. They leave the motel or hotel room, and Neil ends up finding a wanted sign of himself. He had apparently stolen some watches in Phoenix, hid them in a locker in a train station in Portland, and these watches are worth $20,000, and it's potentially enough money to help them leave and get new identities and move to Florida.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely looking for somewhere to go, and then I think once they find the wanted sign, then they kind of have to switch up their plans a little bit, because now, you know, his face is plastered everywhere, so it's like, yeah. Where do we go from here? Oh, crap, now we have to go to Canada.
Well, now he wants to go to Canada by himself.
Yeah, he wants to go to Canada by himself, and the only way that she can go with him is if she becomes an accomplice by kind of returning the watches. So it gets kind of tricky.
Yeah. Well, Emma doesn't want to leave him.
Yeah.
She says she loves him.
Which is sweet. It was like a very nice moment. I think it was her first time telling him.
Yeah. And I genuinely thought she was in the clear once she got those watches. And that is not the case.
Well, what kind of made me mad was that they were just sitting outside the train station in the car looking at the watches after she got it. Like, they didn't drive off anywhere. She, like, hops in the car and they're like, oh, yay, like, here they are, let's look. And I'm like, no, don't do that. That's always when you get caught. But luckily that wasn't when they got
it. Wasn't it Neil that ratted her
out? Oh, yeah, yeah. But we were just saying that we felt like she was going to get caught when she was in the train station.
Oh, okay.
They got two officers right there.
You're saying, like, she got out. Yeah.
She got out of the
kind
of she got out, but then, you know, she runs to the car that's the getaway car, and then they're just looking at it in like the right open there. Right there.
Right.
And I was like, that's kind of dumb, but
I thought it was very interesting that she was already acting like mysterious around the two officers. Like, she was acting like, oh, I'm up to something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm like, come on.
But they're not going to suspect.
More discreet than that.
They're not going to suspect a tiny blonde girl. They're going to, you know, suspect someone who looks more like a Neil. But I thought it was interesting that they had to split up. I don't see why he couldn't have fenced them with her as the getaway car, potentially.
Right.
Why they had to split up. I mean, I realize that it's part of the storyline.
Yeah.
And we get to see August, which we called it before we actually got to see August's face. There was a shadow that looked like him and chasing down Neil. And August tells Neil that if he genuinely loves Emma, he will leave her. Which Neil says no, obviously. And August has to explain that Emma has a bigger destiny, and this is kind of off course. He explains that they were in the same home together when they were younger, and he was supposed to protect Emma, and that Emma has this destiny, mm-hmm. and there's magic, and he shows him a box to make him believe. What do you guys think is in that box? What made him believe? Like, I don't know what I would...
Well, I'm just going to go off on a complete, total guess here, but I don't know, somehow, I think maybe somehow he got hold of a heart, one of the enchanted hearts or something that would, like, really stick out and make Neil go, like, whoa, okay, I got to listen to this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to go more, a little less dark than that. I'm going to say a golden egg.
Golden
just because I know that in Jack and the Beanstalk there was, like, the hen who laid golden eggs, and since that was kind of the other story that was happening at the time, I know they like to mix in stuff like that. So, I don't know, if I saw a golden egg, I might start believing in magic.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I actually thought also it was going to be like an enchanted heart or something.
Yeah. Okay. Neil didn't seem as taken aback by it, though. Yeah. Like, I don't know if it was a heart. I would kind of be like, dude, why are we talking in this alley?
Like, even like, who'd you murder? I mean,
but the heart I imagine is that enchanted one, what looks like candy.
I know.
Yeah. Enchanted glowing heart. But yeah. I think that'd be enough just to catch his attention.
Yeah.
But in our world, I was always under the assumption that in our world, there was no magic. And for August to bring a magical item was very weird to me. I wasn't sure whether it was like a magical bean, like he did keep the magical bean when, you know, he came over. Or I guess he didn't have a magical bean.
Yeah,
but he somehow had like some sort of magical item that he came with when
well, because the box also did look like what he kept the typewriter in that he brought into Storybrooke in season one that Henry saw and everything. So at first I was like, well, if it's the typewriter, why would that kind of convince someone to be magic? Then, you know, my thought went to, well, maybe that's what the book was inside of, and he showed him the book. So it could really be anything at this
point.
Do
we think that August is the writer of the book?
I know that he added pages to the book, but I'm not positive if he's the writer.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No, I think that's another storyline we'll eventually find out.
I think either he wrote the book or the book somehow wrote itself.
I like the book
writing itself as well.
Okay.
If the book is magical.
Yeah, because it's like all magic.
Yeah. Somewhat.
It is kind of a prediction. So, August and Neil talk, and August says that he'll explain this entire story, which will completely change his perspective on Emma, and it does. Neil leaves Emma, sets her up, and the police actually capture her, take her into prison. We learn that 2 months later, August and Neil meet up again, and
In Vancouver. Which is very fitting, because that's where they actually shoot.
Yes. Well, he escaped to Canada, finally. Yes. And Emma got 11 months in prison, so Neil wants to send her a card, a car, and the $20,000 from the watches.
And he did get a clean VIN number, because I was wondering why she was stupid enough to still be driving around in the same car that they both stole.
I'm glad they covered that
up. So I'm glad that they explained that, because I was like, Emma, really? It's 11 years later and you're still driving around in your stolen vehicle.
Well, it's 11 years later and you're still driving in that car.
That's a different story. But now I think we kind of know why, because, you know, it's got that sentimental value to her, kind of like with Cora, how she was holding on to everything that was Daniel's for so long. Emma's holding on to this car.
Regina
was holding on to... Yeah.
They're very interchangeable.
Yeah, they are. Because mother-daughter.
Yeah. I thought it would be weird if the sheriff of a town was riding around in a stolen vehicle. Which, I guess she still is, but...
It's just numbers.
Nostalgic for her at this point.
Yeah.
Something to hold on to. She doesn't want to lose that first love.
Yeah. So Emma's delivered the money, or I guess not the money, but she's delivered the car keys with the keychain of the swan that Neil had stolen for her from the convenience store.
Which is another item that I guess I have to go back and rewatch to see if that keychain is still on her
keys from season one and stuff.
Yeah. To see how long that's been dangling in front of our faces that we never asked the question
about. We didn't notice.
Yeah. It's like, oh, just a keychain.
Or if there's even a close-up enough shot of it at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's clear that Neil still has feelings for her. It's also clear that, we learned in past episodes that Henry was born in prison and that he was born in Phoenix. So it now all makes sense that she was put into a low...
Minimum security
prison in Phoenix. So the story is all coming together.
Yes. Yes.
It's interesting.
Finally getting that little bit of payoff of seeing all the pieces kind of sitting there for so long, and it's finally coming together, and it's kind of exciting, and it's...
Yeah.
It's fun.
And now we know, like, why he got that postcard as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And who sent it to him.
Yes.
Which I think that we had a prediction in like one of our early shows that it was August who sent the postcard. So
yeah, because we figured that that the mysterious man who is Neil in the beginning, he knows about Storybrooke, he knows about magic, but how did he find out about it? So
that's another question. Can people who are not related to the story in Storybrooke and the Enchanted Forest come into Storybrooke? Like, can Neil enter Storybrooke?
I think that's going to be something that's answered this season.
I think so, too.
I think so.
I've heard a little bit of stuff about...
Rumors
about possibly having a character see what it's like if someone tries to come into Storybrooke who's not of the magical world, so...
Yeah, I think that Neil will probably be making a comeback.
Yeah. Maybe help save Emma, bring her back to Storybrooke.
And that'll be interesting.
Henry meeting his dad.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So...
Well, hopefully we'll get more answers.
We will, but then there'll be more questions.
Exactly. Well, I want to talk about another world, past Enchanted Forest and present Enchanted Forest. Talk about the beanstalks, the giants, and the compass, or the journey to find the compass. Before we do that, I just want to mention, if you're not listening to us on our iTunes podcast or watching us on AfterBuzzTV.com, I got that mixed up.
Flip it and reverse it.
If you're not watching us on AfterBuzzTV.com, you can listen to us on our iTunes podcast. Just go to the iTunes store, type in AfterBuzzTV, subscribe to Once Upon a Time, and then also tell a friend, rate and comment, because that is how we get to keep on bringing you all of this free content. We got a lot of great comments this past week. About 6 new comments, and they were all very nice. So thank you so much for everyone who posted those. Just want to give a quick shout out to Cameron Duncan, Bailey 95, Cassandra of Troy, Mina 10 Flow, Othello 32, and Yvonne De Valley. Thank you all for commenting this past week. If you do have a comment, good or bad, we would love to hear it, because we do really read all of the comments on both iTunes and on YouTube. So if you have a way that we can improve our show, or just something, you know, positive that you want to tell us, please go ahead and let us know, and we will give you a shout out on our show.
Yeah.
So keep on rating and commenting, and tell friends.
Yes.
Awesome. So, back to
the beanstalk.
What did you guys think of the whole Jack and the Beanstalk theme being added into?
I mean, I thought it was fine. I wasn't, like, amazed by it, but it was fine.
I thought it was interesting. We didn't really get to see the Jack character.
We saw his skeleton carcass,
but we didn't actually see a real life person, because if you remember, Jack's the one who threw the beans and it had to grow, but I was kind of hoping to see Jack still alive and play a part into the story.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping that we'd see Jack too. It was kind of sad the way that he kind of was killed.
Just and, done.
Yeah, just yeah. done. Like, oh, whatever, but here's this sword that, you know, he used to kill all the giants. But overall, I thought it was good. I think it's one of the stories that when you think fairy tales, it's one of the first stories you think of. So I think they had to kind of play it in, and then in their true form, they brought it in their own style and their own way and interpretation. Yeah.
And Jack was not the hero that we all remember from when we were younger.
He was made out as the bad guy.
He murdered a lot of giants who apparently were not evil.
So says one.
Yeah, well, I mean, I never pictured Jack being, you know,
completely innocent.
I imagined him being like conniving, sure, but not like heroic anyway. But you know,
my thought was always, what did the giants ever do to Jack?
Yeah, exactly.
He kind of went up there and started messing with them.
He's like, I'm gonna take your
one
stuff.
And taking their stuff, and then, you know, chops down a beanstalk and kills one.
It's like, right?
but what did he do to you besides tell you to stay out of? I mean, he thought about eating you. He thought he smelled you, but he never did.
Yeah, that's true. Because we know that Jack is is a bit greedy, you know. He kept going back up the beanstalk for more treasures. Mm-hmm. But I didn't really think that would lead him to be this murderous man in killing all these giants.
Yeah.
So that was a Once Upon a Time twist.
They're definitely good at changing old stories around. I thought it was interesting that Emma actually referenced Jack and the Beanstalk as if, you know, she was just a normal kid, just like us when we were growing up. And, you know, she remembered that story. She remembers all of these stories. And one of the other things that I found interesting was that they mentioned that there were a bunch of beans, not just the one that Bay got, and not the just the one that Jack had to build his beanstalk, but Jack destroyed pretty much all of them. So I was kind of wondering if you think that there are any other beans still out there that are unaccounted for?
I think so.
I think so, because they're portal beans, right?
So we know that they can either go up or go down, which is down meaning a portal to another world, or up.
So, I mean, they might be essential along with the compass and the dust to get back to Storybrooke.
Yeah. I mean, the Blue Fairy in season one does say that, you know, the one that Bay uses is the last magic bean that's left. Mm-hmm. And I know that we're supposed to believe that fairies are all good and don't lie, but the fairy did lie to Snow and Charming about how many people could go through the portal that they made in there, so maybe she was lying about the bean as well.
And maybe she didn't know that there were other beans. Maybe that was just the last one that they had.
And I kind of thought that Emma was gonna, you know, the giant had the one that he was wearing on his wrist, I think it was. But, you know, when he said that one was kind of like no good anymore, I was kind of like, well, I'd still take it.
Just to be sure,
I would have taken it just to kind of have assurance that I couldn't use this.
Yeah. I have some residual magic.
Yeah. Exactly. Just in case.
You never know who's lying to you.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I know all of you were all excited about the actor that was playing the giant.
Jorge Garcia.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, this is kind of cool that we see an actor from Lost transitioning over to Once Upon a Time.
Not the first time.
No. I was excited to see him, but yet a little disappointed. I kind of, I thought his voice as the giant, it sounded like a normal man. Mm-hmm. I thought they would maybe do some sound editing, make it, more monstrous and threatening, but it just sounded like a regular human being talking to another human being.
Sounded like an oversized man talking.
Yeah.
The CGI wasn't the best, but I thought they did a pretty decent job for being on
TV.
I think I know what you're saying. You're saying that, basically, you thought he'd be more giant.
Yeah.
Right?
more threatening.
I completely agree with you. He was kind of, harmless. He's like, growl, I'm coming to get you.
Right.
It wasn't, really scary at all.
And it kind of wanted to hear fee-fi-fo-fum at least once.
Yeah.
In a scary voice.
Yeah.
You get that.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
Well, he's more intelligent than that, so...
He didn't seem intelligent.
He is a smart giant.
I think towards the end of the episode, he definitely had some heart.
He's a lonely giant.
Yes, heart, yes. Yeah. I completely agree with that.
So, we also saw that Captain Killian Jones was more of a gentleman. Well, kind of.
Kind of.
He's
more of a gentleman than I thought.
As gentlemanly as a pirate can be.
Yes.
I guess.
Say that.
There were a lot of times in tonight's episode where I really felt like he was channeling Jack Sparrow. He said, when Emma cut her hand, he poured some rum on her hand and is like, what a waste of rum.
Bloody waste.
And then Emma falls into his arm, or pulls him, I guess, to try to get him away from the...
Tripwire.
And he's like, oh, finally.
Right. I gotta admit, there were some moments that I was like, there's some chemistry going on between these two.
Yeah.
There definitely was a lot of chemistry.
Something going.
Yeah. Well, they both think that they lost their true love, so maybe they can take solace in each other.
But then what happens if Neil comes back?
I'm sure
love
he will.
Triangle. Always the best.
Yeah. But it seems like, to me, it seemed like he was a better guy than I thought he would be after that whole fight with Rumpelstiltskin in the last episode. or was it two episodes
yeah,
ago?
Yeah.
And he did say again, you know, Emma, when have I lied to you? And he said that his allegiance lies in whomever can get him his ride to Storybrooke.
And but I completely
yes.
believe him when he says that.
Yeah.
Because based on, you know, all the pirate movies I've watched, a.k.a. Pirates of the Caribbean, you know, a pirate kind of sticks to, you know, whoever's going to help them out the most is who they really are loyal to for that moment. But as soon as, you know, someone else can kind of help them out more, they're going to switch gears on
yeah.
you.
But see, that's the tricky thing with him, I think, is that, like, he can't be trusted because, yes, he might be a man of his word saying that he will go with whoever is going to get him to Storybrooke first. But what if suddenly Cora's like, I have a better plan? He might just trail off and be like, you know what, ladies? This woman's got the better deal. I changed my mind.
And I completely think that that's yeah. exactly what he would do.
Yeah.
But I don't think that he is against them. I think that there's a common misconception that he might be against Snow and Emma and Aurora and Mulan getting the compass and getting back to Storybrooke first. I think that if he was teamed up with Cora permanently, that he would have tried to kill them off by not telling them that there was a spell protecting the Beast.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think he's sided with anybody, but I don't think anyone can trust him.
Yeah.
Just because his allegiance will sway with whoever
it's
has the upper,
benefit.
Yeah, for his benefit
yeah.
at that moment.
But everything he's done, he has really lived up to it.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
he's been completely. He has been very truthful,
very truthful
and honest with them. And I know he brings up a lot about Emma's trust issues.
I did feel a little bad when she changed him up. At first, I was like, "Yeah, you go for it." But then when he was pleading, I was like, "Oh man!"
Yeah, yeah. It was part of me was like, "Emma, you can tell when people are lying. Like, trust that." But
and she, I think she felt a little bad too. That's why
yeah.
she's like, "I just need a head start." Like, I'm
and
not
I
yeah.
think that part of it, what's clouding her judgment, is the chemistry.
Yeah,
that
maybe.
They have because I think she feels it too because she does say, "I can't trust my gut right now
yeah.
about you."
Oh,
yeah. So yeah. I think it's kind of like, you know, you're wooing me right
yeah.
now, and I don't know what to do.
He could woo anyone.
I changed my mind on him, though, by the way. Hot not.
What?
What?
No, I don't think he's very attractive
oh.
to me.
Oh.
I think for the situation, it's clear that Emma is very attracted to
right.
him.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, and there's also, I think, a deeper understanding with both of them. It seems like she understands him and that, like, he's not always going to be
mm-hmm.
honest. And he kind of gets her because he said that, you know, he's been around a lot of orphans.
Mm.
And
he spent a lot of time with the Lost Boys. Another Peter Pan
yeah.
reference.
Yes. Yeah.
Neverland.
And, he sees that she's been abandoned. He can tell that she feels or, you know, looks the same way that these boys did. So
it's in her eyes.
It's like he can read her
he
like a
read
book.
Her.
Yeah,
he
that's
sees
what he
through
said.
Her.
He can read her like a book.
Yeah.
And yeah.
She can kind of read him like a book too. She's like, I mean, if I saw a tattoo with a chick, I wouldn't be like, oh my God, it's because this and this and this happened, but she did.
Yeah, she totally called him out for that Mr. Mm. Gold thing.
Yeah.
yeah.
Except he didn't know who she was talking about. She was like, gold.
Yeah, and I like the fact that Emma did put two and two together
yeah.
and find out more about
yeah.
Hook, too.
I think that actually might have made her trust him more because she saw his real intention for trying to get back to Storybrooke.
Mm-hmm,
it
mm-hmm.
wasn't that he was, you know, paid by Cora to help mm-hmm. To help her. It was that he actually had a reason. He wants revenge on Rumpelstiltskin, and that's why he's going there.
Yeah, it wasn't just to kill somebody. It was because he needed that revenge for someone he loved, which is a very much stronger reason to go back.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So while Emma and Killian are up this beanstalk, we see down at the bottom is Snow, Aurora,
and Mulan.
And Mulan. And it seems like there are some sleeping problems that Aurora is encountering. She's having nightmares, and she says that there is a nightmare, a recurring nightmare that she has had since she was put under the sleeping curse, where there's a room, and it's a red room. There's no mm-hmm. windows, no doors, just curtains that are flaming, and a pair of eyes. She says that she sees a guy's eyes. His eyes.
Across the room.
His eyes.
And then at the end of the episode, we hear Henry describe his dream. And it's, he's in a room, a red room, and he's describing this to Charming. He's in a red room with no windows, no doors, curtains that are flaming, and a pair of a girl's eyes or a woman's eyes.
Yeah.
She was staring.
She was staring at him. So I don't know how, maybe because Aurora or in Snow, when they're talking, Aurora has clearly been under a sleeping charm. Yeah. And Henry was kind of under a sleeping charm in Storybrooke at the end of the season. So maybe somehow their dreams are like connected and they're looking at each other.
Yeah.
I like that possibility.
Some reflection.
Yeah, somehow the sleeping charm that they were under has,
you know,
connected the worlds in some way.
I just thought about, like, maybe because they see eyes, they're just assuming that it's a him or her, something as simple as that. Or it could be an androgynous, scary person. I mean, but I like your idea.
Yeah. At first, I thought that it was Cora in the dream. And then when we went back and listened to it, and it said, you know, she clearly said in his eyes, and Henry clearly said, you know, a woman's eyes. It seemed like they were in the same dream.
Yeah.
And maybe it's a portal somehow, or a way that they can communicate
with.
But it seems like it's kind of dangerous, whatever it is.
It seems dark because they're. Curtains are on fire and you can't escape the
and
room.
Blood red.
Yeah, blood red.
Yeah.
The symbolism of red and danger.
You know, I like the portal idea the more I think about it, because this whole season I was watching Aurora and I was kind of wondering, like, God,
what's her purpose?
Point of her? And you know, like, what's her purpose? And then this episode, I'm like, okay, she's talking finally about her backstory a little bit, about, like, how she has having bad dreams, and then this dream happens, and it coexists with Henry's bad dreams, so maybe she's an important role to, like, communicating. Who knows?
Yeah.
Could be, because I was wondering the same thing about her, sort of, role, because she's been there, right. But never
she's
really
the
like
annoying
doing,
girl that just kind of like hinders them.
Yeah, and I love when they were trying to decide who would go up the beanstalk with Killian, and she was in there talking about how she. I was like, really, girl?
Yeah, right.
Like, what are you gonna do? Like, what are you exactly. gonna do if like attacked? You haven't done anything so far.
Complain about like, how long the beanstalk is.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my gosh, are we walking still?
The right girl with you.
I think she stepped up though.
Yeah.
She's like, I'll do it.
Yeah. Well, she thinks that she doesn't have anything to lose anymore. She's lost her true love, and there's really nothing for her.
Yeah.
And I mean, it would kind of suck to. Lose everything and then have terrible nightmares every time you go to sleep. So,
yeah, that's
I kind true. Of feel for her after this episode.
Yeah, after this episode.
After this episode, I feel. Yeah. For
but
her.
Beforehand, not so much.
Yeah, definitely. So, what do we think of these dreams? Like, do we think we'll see something in a future episode, an upcoming future episode, or is this something that they'll. Save for season 3 or 4.
I think they definitely need to bring it up. It might be an important, like, you know, halfway, because like we have three episodes left before like the halfway point.
Yeah.
And it might be like the end of that episode before we're like, you have to wait like 2 months for the next flu.
Yeah. Or
I kind of think it might be a ways of communication because it is magic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anything can happen. And I think somehow it'll help them find their way back to Starbright.
Yeah, I think it's something along those lines too. And this is just coming to my head right now, but it's being described as red and blood, and for some reason rubies popping into my head now with like
it's
the
so
whole
close
red
to the,
thing
the
and
full moon.
Yeah, and you know the full moon and stuff.
The
so.
Eyes.
Yeah, the eyes in the corner.
I was thinking that. The dream catcher is going to come into play pretty soon since we saw that with Emma early on in the episode. So maybe something with catching the dreams. And then I also thought that what's a Disney story that has dream catchers, and maybe like Pocahontas or the Indians from Neverland.
Yeah.
That's true.
Those were the two things that kind of made me think about dream catchers. But maybe that's stereotypical. I don't know.
Well, I mean, they do describe them as the Indian dream catcher, so that could be another headway into the Neverland Indians.
Did you guys notice, by the way, just a small thing, like, did you guys notice that Emma was kind of stuck on 10 hours?
Yeah.
I was wondering if that had anything to do with anything. Like, why is it like 10 hours if I'm not back by 10 hours exactly of the beanstalk, and I locked Killian up there for 10 hours?
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, like,
what's the significance?
Yeah.
I don't know, because numbers, I think that, like, numbers have a big significant role.
I think so,
I still
too.
Think 8:15 is still a mystery.
Yeah, I was surprised that when they were talking about their meeting time with Emma and Neil, that it was 9. Because I was like, oh, what happened to 8:15? That's, like, the time for everything.
Yeah.
And then she did get, like, her last gift before it got back, jacked back
was
with
a
the watch.
Yeah.
So it's interesting.
Well, numbers are definitely coming into play. Hopefully, we'll get more answers to that soon.
Oh, I hope so.
Going off the dream catchers, I thought it was interesting how they thought lighting a candle would also keep away.
Well, Snow said that she had nightmares after she woke up, and Prince Charming was the one that helped her.
Yeah, yeah. And he did the same thing for Henry. Yeah.
And then Emma and Neil take a dream catcher from the motel room. And, yeah, so I guess we'll see how this whole dream catching... Because I want to know the significance of what they thought lighting the candle was, like you said. Because it's like dream catcher, we know. But lighting the candle, they didn't really...
Maybe to keep bad people away.
Yeah, because it worked.
I definitely want to look that up, because I feel like there is like a... that is like an urban myth or a, you know... Something that people use.
I mean, I know I was afraid of the dark when I was little, so I slept with a night light on, but it's not the... Didn't keep any bad dreams away.
A candle.
Should have had a candle there.
Kind of a little dangerous. Yeah.
Well, hopefully we'll get more answers in the next episode. If we're not able to look them up online.
Yeah, we'll find something.
Yeah. So, let's move on to news and gossip.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Okay, so I've got some spoilers right now.
Spoiler
alert.
Minor spoilers.
Yeah, minor spoilers. They've released the title of some upcoming episodes after next week's Child of the Moon, which is all about Ruby and her first full moon in Storybrooke with the curse being broken. Then there's an episode titled Into the Deep, which is going to be around, what's it about? Oh, Cora trying to get the compass from Emma and Snow and all those people. And then on December 2nd, we have Queen of Hearts. So we'll finally get to find out who the Queen of Hearts is.
Of course.
Yeah, I think we know.
Yeah, I think it's kind of obvious, but I still kind of want them to throw something in there. Yeah.
Explain it more.
Yeah.
Like that.
Definitely.
Exactly.
Well, so is that all the news?
Yeah, that's what I got.
I saw one thing real quick, guys. Okay. There was a possible spoiler that Augustus might hook up with Emma.
Oh.
And the Horowitz said, like, it's probably unlikely, but you never know with what's going on.
I don't know if that's going to happen. Now that Neil is back in the picture, I really don't see...
Well, he did say, like, Emma's definitely going to have more suitors this season. That's what he said.
Well, it seems like she has a lot of potential candidates.
We're starting to see that, right?
I kind of want to see Killian and Emma together because, you know... They are kind of similar, because she had a thing for Neil, and Neil was, you know, a thief, and Killian's a pirate who has, you know, all these
skills. Who's got swag.
Yeah,
swag. You don't want to see her work it out with her baby daddy?
I do, too.
They
kind of
have the same characteristics, so I can see why Emma might be attracted to Killian.
Yeah.
I like the Neil one.
You don't want to see her get back together with Henry's dad?
No.
Yeah, I'm with you, Kathy.
I would like to see that just because of the love story.
Yeah.
But
he didn't want to leave her, but he did.
Well, you know, like, and she probably is tainted because he thinks that, like,
he's a jerk. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, he just backstabbed her. Yeah. But he actually did it out of love, you know?
Yeah. And I'm sure once he explains everything, all will be right within Storybrooke.
And clearly there's still part of her that must want it because she's held on to that car and... everything for all this time.
That's
so
true.
She hasn't let go of him fully.
Yes.
And she also has never let anyone else back in.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you think about it, the moment she gave birth, she gave the kid away. And now he's back. But so maybe she wants everything
she
back.
She didn't do that on purpose. She was in prison. So I think she did that because he would have a better life, not because she wanted to get rid of him.
Well, no, but she explained that she didn't want to be with him. Like, she didn't want the kid to take care of the kid. She was, like, too immature and all that stuff. She explained that.
But Emma, she was an orphan herself.
Exactly.
So she understood, like, if Henry or went through the same thing she did, she didn't want that for Henry.
Yeah.
So,
she didn't want to, but she didn't want to, like, have him.
So did she give him... Are we saying that
she
gave him away?
She wasn't like, oh, just take him. It wasn't like that.
Well, no, I'm just saying... Did she have an adoption set up for him so that he wouldn't go into the system? Or no, because he didn't get taken out till he was three, so never mind.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well,
that's confusing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I want to move on to predictions. I feel like we've got a lot of predictions already out there.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
But, so this week for predictions, I know we got to see a little bit of a teaser from next episode, so I guess that's what we should predict tonight. We know that the full moon is coming back,
mm-hmm.
and not only that, but Ruby Red has a chance of becoming a werewolf in Storybrooke. Mm-hmm. What do you guys think is going to go down next week?
I wonder if she might kill someone that's like a secondary character or something.
Well, I think in the preview it did show that someone died or was attacked, at least.
Mm-hmm. We saw blood.
Yeah, we saw blood and someone laying on the ground.
We saw blood, and we also saw King George with a gun.
Yeah. Oh, did we? Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's who he was.
He's back, too.
But my question is, does Ruby have her cape in Storybrooke? Because the cape is what prevented her from changing into a wolf, but now that they're in Storybrooke, where did it go?
Yeah.
So, and now that there's magic in Storybrooke, can she actually change into a wolf? And where is her cape?
Yeah.
If she does.
Where's her cape?
Maybe she can't get it because she's locked up in a prison.
Yeah, they put her in the prison cell.
So. Would the cape work?
I think so, because magic is in Storybrooke.
I think it would.
Yeah.
Because it's just because, like, we don't know how to use magic completely.
So. I don't know.
But we know it's possible that magic can work.
Yes.
And
magic is back.
Yes.
And the magical items, it seemed like, still have their powers, like the book that Regina had and some of the things in Rumpelstiltskin's shop. So
Yeah.
Well, I want to predict that Ruby doesn't actually kill anyone, because I like her a lot, and I don't want to think that she's actually going to harm anyone, but maybe, you know, there's still that chance of it. And I'm really bummed that since Neil was revealed tonight, he's not Peter Pan like I predicted. So there goes that.
Yeah.
I think she will be able to change into a wolf.
Yeah. A good wolf.
A good wolf.
Cognitive wolf.
Wow. I think that is all of our predictions for next week. Make sure to tune in to another episode of Once Upon a Time After Show next Sunday. But in the meantime, if you guys want to get in contact with us, you can find me on Twitter at Katherine Kelly.
I'm on Twitter at TweetT22, TweeTee22.
And I am at Marissa Movies. That's MARISA Movies.
And I am at KAORIOUS Kaori.
You can find all of us on Twitter at AfterBuzzTV. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook as well. So make sure to like those pages. And make sure to tune in, as I said, next Sunday for another recap of Once Upon a Time After Show.
Please keep reading. Please keep commenting.
Yes.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.